Hey there, everybody. It is Wednesday, May 16th, 2012, and you are listening to This Show Is So Gay. I'm Ken. As always, you can get in touch with us by dropping us a line and sending an email on over to ken@thisshowisogay.com. Stroll on over to thisshowisogay.com to learn all about the fun things happening with our little gay radio show that could. And of course, go to the Facebook, type in This Show Is So Gay, like us, because we sure as heck like you. What a fun show we have for you this week. Hey, first guest, are you ready to go?
Yes, sir.
Let me introduce you. Adair Lyon is a rapper, singer, producer, director, born and raised in central El Paso, Texas. This entrepreneurial-minded artist co-founded a music label called Above the Notes, based on the belief that a label should work to touch the lives of others by doing more than just making music. He has received a plethora of acclaim on online hip-hop sites and blogs, including Bro Bible, Good Music All Day, Fresh New Tracks, and The Collection. His latest single, Ben, a pro LGBT anthem in a distinctly not pro-LGBT medium, has blown up. This video has been viewed hundreds of thousands of times on YouTube and is only going to get bigger and bigger. Adair Lyon, welcome to This Show Is So Gay.
Hey, thank you for having me. This is it's really exciting for me, and I'm glad to be able to reach out to the gay community and do cool shows like this. It's really fun.
Exciting time for you, sir.
Yes, very exciting time. I've never had this much acclaim, and I really thought I would be shunned from hip hop, but it's one of those things that, you know, when you follow your heart, you musically, when you have creative control over whatever you want to do, you do what you want to do. And so it was either going to be a complete success or a complete fail. And, luckily, even though those, you know, those blog sites that you mentioned earlier and those websites that you mentioned earlier used to be my number one supporters and the reason why I had been getting so much views and likes and listens and downloads, none of them posted me. So, but I still, you know, like I said, I've garnished a lot of attention and a lot of song plays and downloads and likes. And that was completely from other sources, like, you know, like the Huffington Post.
Nice.
And the Dallas Observer and you name it, Gawker. I mean, come on, Gawker's always mean to everybody and they were nice about me. So, places like that really picked up the slack, and she was really, really kind of like touching for me because I didn't think that they were so closed-minded.
Right.
And it's scary when, you know, you send your personal friends that are the website owners and stuff, and like, hey, Tim from, you know, Good Music All Day, Doug, you know, here's my new single. I told you this album's going to be crazy, man, you know, and he's been going back and forth with me about the album, how amazing it's going to be, and blah, blah, blah. And then I sent him the video, and I get nothing and no posts, and you know, and it was like that for every one of my sites and my web and, you know, all the people that used to support me. And so it's shocking. And then you realize, wow, our society is still very prejudiced.
A lot of work
even
to
though,
do.
Even though you think it's very open-minded, it's not. And we didn't even have family that did that. And it's just unfortunate, but you know, at the same time, people come back around and they end up opening their eyes and saying, well, no, it's not so bad. And oh, I really like it. And you're absolutely right. And we need to fight for this cause. And so you completely win people over as soon as you gain popularity, which is unfortunate, but it's nice too that people can come around eventually.
Now let's take people back. Let's go back a little bit. Tell everybody about El Paso, Texas and what that life was like for you there.
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, I've been labeled as a gay rapper, and I've been labeled as, how would I call it? Like, you know, like a really soft, LGBT rapper and, you know, stuff like that. And it's funny to me. It's really funny to me because, I have even local artists here telling me, you know, oh, well, you know, this guy is soft and could never last in the hood. Well, I'm from El Paso, Texas, on the border of El Paso and Juarez. And I don't know if you know anything about that area, but it's a murder capital. And, the cartels there are ridiculous. I mean, front page news is like decapitated heads, bloody corpses. And like, it's just, you know, growing up there, you become like really callous and you're not really afraid of anything. And I grew up in one of the worst areas. And on top of that, you know, my cousin was like a captain in the BAs. And if you've ever watched like Gangland or anything, you'll know what the BAs are. They're Barrio Aztecas. It's like the most dangerous group gang ever that you can imagine. And, you know, he was a boss there.
Yeah.
And so for me to listen to these like wannabe gangster rappers talk crap. It's crazy to me. I'm like, man, you don't have even a slightest clue of what I've seen and what I've been through. And so when I was growing up, I mean, it's really crazy because nobody accepted gay people. And then right. and then on top of that, my mom worked two jobs to send me to private school, which I eventually got a scholarship for. But, you know, whenever I was in school, you know, it just wasn't accepted and it wasn't around. And, you know, like in any Christian school, I'm in mine, for example, you say that you're gay, you get expelled.
Right.
So whenever I was growing up, I never saw gay people. And if you were, obviously they're everywhere, but, you know, if you were, you wouldn't talk about it. It was just a
hush, kind of
deal. Yeah. And, it wasn't until I went to UT, when I went to UT Austin, that I actually saw that a community that was, you know, very open to all that. And it was really eye opening when I got to the University of Texas at Austin, because Austin is so liberal and so loving and accepting. And I had no idea. And I didn't know that, you know, gay people could be in all shapes and sizes. I thought they were all, you know, like a stereotypical, like tiny and dainty and very flamboyant. And no, I mean, I was playing basketball with dudes that were all black and four and muscular. And, you know, somebody dropped the F-bomb on somebody else and was like, yeah, so what if I am, man? And I was like, whoa, nice. Whoa, calm down, don't kill him. And so, yeah, it was one of those things. But yeah, that's how I grew up in El Paso, very, very dangerous area and very, I call it like hood and gangster. And whenever I got to University of Texas at Austin, that was when my life and my perspectives really changed.
Ned, talk to me about, I loved reading your bio on your site, and there's a line in your bio that references you, you know, you decided you wanted to be a positive influence for Latino youth. What does that look like to you? What is being a positive influence, and what's the need there for Latino youth?
Yeah, you heard me talk about how when I grew up, you know, front page news is Latinos killing Latinos.
Yeah.
And we've all learned about like black on black crime and stuff, and what a lot of people don't realize, especially when you're in a, you know, El Paso Juarez area is the largest metropolitan area in the world. A lot of people don't know that. It's basically, you know, they're right next to each other, and it's basically the largest city in the world. Without, you know, if you combine them together, they're the biggest place ever, as far as population. And whenever I see a Latino on TV or on the news, or gaining any kind of attention with popular media, I see bad guys and killers and rapists and murderers. And so for me growing up, it's sad to see such negative spotlights.
Right.
You know, they spotlight all the negative, and we never get anything that's positive. So I thought whenever I was going to start my label, I thought, you know, we need to be in the good light. We need to go and help out. And that's a lot of the reason, like I've gone to Al Price Juvenile, a correctional facility. You know, it's basically a jail for kids that have done like really bad crimes, mm-hmm. and violent offenses. And, it's basically, you know, they're not old enough to go to the real pen.
Gotcha.
And these guys did a session there where we taught them music and we showed them how to drum and DJ and write songs and produce. And, you know, at one point we had 90 inmates sitting in a room, and I think there was two staff with us. And so at any one point, one of them could have been like, kill him! Would have been screwed.
Yeah.
But because we engaged them so well, and because we were reaching out to them and showing them stuff they like and doing cool activities with them, then they were very receptive and very... and they showed that they could be better than what they've been labeled. And that, to me, is part of what Above the Notes is. You know, Above the Notes were more than music, and I wanted that to represent, you know, a lot of them were Latinos. And we're like, you know, you don't have to be in this lifestyle. You don't have to live this way. When you get out, you don't have to continue with your old habits, because that's a lot of what happens. You know, they get out and they jump right back into it. And so when I wanted a positive Latino influence over people, it was because I've seen growing up negative ones, and the only ones that were positive were like entertainers and people that were really different from where I was at. And so I made it a point that whenever I could do community service, for example, just 2 days ago, I went to speak at the YMCA Midtown here in Amarillo, where I'm at, just to go speak to the kids in there. Mm-hmm. They're more of the like lower socioeconomic range. And mm-hmm. I went to go to them, and their parents came up and talked to me, and, you know, they were like, oh man, it's so cool that you're doing it. And, you know, they saw me on the front page last week, newspaper here. And it's really cool to be able to talk to them and reach out and say, hey, you know, you could do something with your life. You can be your own boss. You can follow your dreams, and there's no age limit on this and that, you know, because a lot of times we tell kids like, oh, you can follow your dreams. And as soon as they hit 18, it's like, are you going to go to college? Are you going to do this? Are you going to do that? And then you need to get a job right away.
Right.
And then those dreams dissipate and go away. And that kid that wanted to be the president, kid that wanted to run his own company and all that, they just succumb to whatever society is telling them to do. And they don't follow their dreams anymore. They're like, well, I better get my associates and just start working.
Right.
And so that's why I wanted to be a positive light. And I know I'm rambling, and I'm sorry.
No, you're good. This is great. This is great. Okay. Well, one of the cool things about you as a musical artist is that people can actually see you live. And I was reading about how, you know, in Austin, which is just from everything I hear, I've never been, but it's just the place for live music.
Go.
I know. I got to get there. But what is it about playing live? Because there's so many musical artists these days who are just about the studio, and they're going to remix in the studio, and they're going to put things out in the studio. But then you see them live, and you're like, oh, yeah, I would have rather just heard them in my car.
I was really fortunate to, whenever I started doing music, I was really fortunate to run across, you know, I went to school for music at the University of Texas, and there was this really, really pretty girl in my class, and she was like, I'm a transfer student from Baylor, and I'm just here to get an A in the class. And, you know, when you're introducing stuff, like, in class, she said that. I raised my hand to introduce myself next. I want to be her partner for studying. And everybody kind of, like, laughed, and they just blew me off or whatever. But I approached her after class, and she's like, look, I have a boyfriend. Like, leave me alone. And then I was like, oh, okay, well, anyway, I really do want to study with you, though. I didn't know any music theory. I kind of got into the school of music on a whim. You know, I went and auditioned. I didn't even have a spot. And it was just a crazy way that I got into the school of music, and I was very fortunate to even get in. But she ended up taking me that night to this place called Lucky Lounge. In Lucky Lounge, they snuck me in. I was only 19, just turned 19, and I was excited, and I got snuck in, and I was like, oh man, what am I gonna do? And we stood right there next to the stage, and I saw this MC, and he performed with a percussionist, a DJ, a drummer, a guitar player, a road player.
Nice.
You know, it was like 10 guys on stage, you know, a full horn section. And I was just like, man, this is incredible. Like, they're actually playing the beats. They're not like, here's a CD, push play.
Right.
And the guy goes up and raps. It was really a musical, it was a spectacle. And I thought, man, you know, it would be cool for me to get on stage. And during their intermission, I went to the rapper, and I was like, hey, can I get up on stage and like do a freestyle? And up till then, I had only been a singer, you know, and at the school of music, I was, you know, singing opera. And so, whenever it got really late, it was about 1 o'clock, pushing 2 o'clock, he said, hey, what's your name? You want to rap? And they were grooving, which I don't know if you know what grooving is, but, you know, basically playing like 4 chords over and over and just kind of like soloing over it, you know, like, okay, now drum solo, now guitar solo, now da da.
Yeah.
And they were grooving, and he called me up on stage, and he, what's your name? And I said, my name's Adair. And he goes, MC Adair, to the stage. Here you go. And then I started freestyling, and then I became a regular freestyler for their sets. And then, no, I was part of the group. But
now, the end of the story, you got to do the correct end of the story. The end of the story must be you got off stage and she said, okay, you're my boyfriend now.
That would be awesome, but no, it didn't happen.
No, when you tell this story in the future, that is the end of the story. I'm here to help.
That's how I'm going to, that's going to say it. And I got the girl.
I got the girl. That's how the story ends. That's awesome. All right, so let's flash forward to the present. Now, you're in this rap hip hop culture, and as you said earlier, not the most LGBT friendly.
No.
No. I want to hear about the people who told you before you even put it out there, and I would love for the answer to be no one told me this at all, but were there people who said to you, "Yeah, this is interesting and you could put this out there, but it's really not a good idea to put this song Ben out there."
you know, I mentioned it to some of the people that I was working with before I put it out. To some of the people I was working with, because that's what happens when maybe your ideas clash
right
with somebody else's ideas. It was like, oh man, I use that term like hip hop suicide. No, that's crazy. You're gonna crash and burn with that.
Yeah.
Like nobody wants to hear that.
Right.
Keep making hot stuff. And the problem is that a lot of times people, when they're making music, when they're in a creative realm, they think that whatever is popular is what you should be aiming to do.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like let's say something is popular and it's got like a really slow and 80, it's got a really slow BPM and it's got 808 and claps and it's like, and that's like the number one song.
Right.
And then what happens? You get a plethora of people and trying to copy this sound, and then they'll try to do it. But that's not necessarily better. It's just that they're above you, so then people try to mimic that.
Right.
So anybody who's below the listener amount of the person who's the most popular, they try to copy it. And to me, I've never been the person to copy somebody else's material. I'd rather make something completely new and different and make my own staple and make my own stance and make my own buzz about a song or a type of music or whatever. And so I was heavily encouraged not to put out a song like Ben. And I just went against it anyway because I can, because I'm my own boss. I'm not under a label yet. And it still hasn't signed me yet. So until it happens, I don't think I'll be afraid, especially now more than ever. I'll never be afraid to do something that my heart is telling me to do, because I did used to kind of oppress things that other people's better judgment told them not to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I think, like I said, now more than ever, I'll always just follow my heart as far as putting out songs that mean something.
Yeah.
And my fiance, you know, being her, she was a Miss El Paso and Miss Texas, and she did stuff for like bullying, and she went through the same thing. They're like, no, you can't have a pro LGBT stance.
Right.
That can't be your platform. And so she had to confront what is it called when you settle? She had to settle for a bullying platform, like anti-bullying. Don't bully. And so you know her initial heart, like initially her heart was telling her like to do this. She crashed and burned on it, like a computer from his Dallas, and like, oh, you know, we can't do the gay thing.
Right.
And she lost.
And
she did great through her interview and her swimsuit and everything was great. But the stance, you know, the LGBT stance was just a little bit too much for conservative Texas, you know. And unfortunately, you know, that's happens with people, and a lot of times they're not ready. And it's crazy to me, because the people that run those kind of things, they're all LGBT people.
So exactly.
I'm like, what is going on? This is so confusing. And you know, she's really happy that I'm doing this kind of thing, and I've always had that influence. And so it was almost like a double win for me, because I did it anyway, and it was successful, even though the people that were telling me not to do it were 100% right. I did burn. I did crash, and I did fail with the blog sites and the hip hop sites and all. Everybody that was following me before that's not following me now, every one of those people I lost, but I've gained a whole nother community and a whole nother person. But they were absolutely 100% right.
Yeah.
And when they said that I would get laughed at and booed away and ignored, exactly what happened to me. But I did get attention elsewhere, which hopefully they'll continue to like music, because I pretty much lost all of my following from before.
But I'm thinking Miss El Paso is somewhat proud of you.
Oh yeah, Miss El Paso, me.
That's all you need. That's all you need. And that girl from the club who you did get, but she's thinking, oh man, I missed out on that one.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about some of this feedback. I mean, I would imagine that even in a rainy day like you're having today, all you need to do is go over to iTunes and read the customer reviews. It's so much fun. of just people saying, this is a great song with a great message. Awesome, awesome, awesome. And then a whole plethora of folks who say in their comments that they've never bought a rap song before, but they thought it was important to buy this one. And just reaches a whole different level.
See, I'm glad you're telling me all this because I haven't even had the chance to go look at my iTunes rating.
Get over there!
Yeah, no, I've been up on the YouTube comments, so, and my Facebook, you know, has been kind of overwhelming. But, I've really found, comfort in being able to read stuff like, hey, your song saved my life.
Yeah.
I thought maybe I would get that kind of response, and I was hoping that maybe I could help and touch some people's lives, but the amount of kids that have been sending me messages and parents of kids that have sent me messages like, you know, my son is gay and I knew it and I was just, you know, kind of holding it at bay because I didn't want it to be true, and this song really helped us talk about it. Kids saying, you know, I'm 15 and I was about to have my life end, and you know, my Baptist parents, all I had to do was show them this song, and now we're able to talk, and you know, this song saved my life, there, thank you. And stuff like that is just like, oh man, it's, even if I flop and I never have a number one hit and I never turn into Michael Jackson as far as success, and even if nothing ever happens, I feel very happy with my music and my life to be able to say I did something that helped the world and maybe even saved a couple of lives. So I'm very content with where I'm at right now.
Yeah.
I have a city who is a super conservative city, and they've backed me up. And so whenever you put out something like this, you never know exactly what's going to happen, even though you might have calculated some of the events that might take place. You never know exactly what's going to happen. And I've been so fortunate. And you know, a lot of the success of the video came from a connection that I made at South by Southwest.
Right.
This woman, her name is Tanine Allison. And she has friends at the Huffington Post and, you know, other places where I've been posted. And they might not be her closest friends, but she knows them. They're acquaintances and stuff. And I met her, and she's like, when we were talking at South by Southwest at this one conference that I went to go speak at, she said, you know, I'm an orphan who was adopted by this all-black family, and she was a lesbian, and she graduated from Harvard and worked at MTV. And immediately I was like, hey, my name's Adair. I'm going to put up this song called Ben. I need your help. And she helped from even writing standpoints, like, you shouldn't say this. Don't use homosexual because that's the term, medical term that,
right,
that talked about them being mentally unstable. And I was like, okay, so I'm not going to use that word and have to scratch this. And, you know, she really needed to make sure that I was PC about the song. And then when I showed her the video, she went crazy because of all the metaphors and the thick storyline,
yeah,
in between it. And I've gotten a lot of mixed responses about the video because a lot of people don't understand what I was trying to convey video. But once they did understand, they were like, wow, that's genius.
And they need to just go to your website because you have a whole explanation there that puts it all in perspective.
I do have a whole explanation there, yeah.
Now, we should remind folks, Ben, not the only song that they can get of yours on iTunes. This album, For the Love Of, I swear has like 60 songs on it. This is a chock full album.
Yeah. You know, whenever I made For the Love Of, it was, you know, we wanted, whenever I was doing this For the Love Of, I wanted it to be, you know, for the love of music. It was these little groups of songs, like five songs, and it was for the love of music. And then the next one was for the love of the game. And then the next one was for the love of hip hop. So we were putting out these, like semi-genres underneath this, you know, big umbrella called The Love Of. And, it got a lot of songs in there. And, we put that up on for download, and you can get it even, you don't even have to go to iTunes. You can go and grab it at Piff for free. I try to put all, essentially, because, you know, even my second album, it's called Training Day. I put all that music on my SoundCloud, app, and you can download all those songs for free also. And there's 20 something songs on that one too. And the reason why I'm doing that is because I'm trying to gain a fan base, and I'm trying to show people that I have music and a plethora of music. So that way when the bends come out, that people will want to go and shop for them. So
All right.
That was my theory behind it.
And I'm okay with people buying your stuff too, though.
Okay, yes, I'm not.
I'm looking out for, you know, people buying your stuff as well. But yes, they could get it for free, so that's good too. Now, what is coming up for you? What are we looking at coming up?
So my next, well, I'm going to be going to LA this week, which this is probably something that a lot of people don't know. Actually, nobody outside of my circle knows. I'm going to be going to LA this week, and I'm going to be talking to MTV.com.
Nice.
And yeah, so it's going to be a trip to LA, and have a couple of days meeting with some lawyers, and hopefully making some connections, and in the future negotiate about signing with a label and whatnot. So I'm pretty excited about this. This has been a long time coming for me.
Yeah.
And also my next single, which will be out before the end of the month, it's called BASF, and it means exactly what you think it means.
All right. All right. I'm there.
Okay.
And where can folks go to learn all about the cool things that you're doing and keep track of you?
Okay. Well, everything that I do, I'll post on my Facebook, my Twitter, and my website. So if, as long as you're subscribed to my YouTube channel or my Facebook or my Twitter or all of the above, you'll know exactly what's going on with the Adair line.
Nice. Well, here's the thing, Adair. You are in that position where, and I love having folks on who are just in that unique position where you can reach a community that so many of the rest of us just can't reach. You know, you have access to just different communities who are looking for pro-LGBT messages and just not finding them. And this show, you know, for years, this show is about people using their voice in a unique way. And it is such an unbelievable honor to have you on the show as someone who is really, like, you know, you're making a difference with communities who need a role model. So I can't tell you, you know, on behalf of so many folks that I know you've heard from, but then so many folks who you'll never hear from, just what a huge difference you're making in their lives.
Well, thank you so much, and the honor is all mine, and anytime you want to have me on the show again, I'd be happy to, and then hopefully in the future when I have our iTunes sales going through the roof, I'm going to send you some clothing, and you guys can rock the clothing.
Yes,
and it'll be really a really fun time.
In a heartbeat. But next time you're on the show, can we have a deal that we're bringing you back with Miss El Paso?
Oh heck yeah, for sure.
She'd love it.
She'd love it.
Awesome.
I love to meet with y'all.
Well, again, an absolute treat having you on the show. Please keep putting out this music, and just please keep using your voice in this amazing way. We're so appreciative.
Thank you so much for having me, and you have a day, and we'll talk soon.
All the best, Adair.
All right, thanks a lot.
Bye.
My name's Adair, and I'm here to recruit you. What up, hip-hop? Can I spit some taboo? Hello, young world, can I change your outlook? When I was growing up, I was forced to give a frown look to people who were different than me, and I just accepted it, man, but I was so naive. See, I was scholarship to a private school, and in the hood, I was with my vatos acting a fool. So either way, being gay was wrong. It was against the hood laws or the laws of God. So I didn't see them, they probably were scared straight, but I made a friend I never expected to make. Now I can see all the hate reaction on your face. This subject's not the type that hip-hop embraced, but it's long overdue. Where you at, Wayne? I said it's long overdue. Where you at, yay? I mean, nobody else can, and I've never been the type to harp on what others think of me, so there's no wonder why I call out all this bigotry. Being Christian, it's hard to say this, but the Bible was wrong this time. It's in every species and every family I've met, so I don't see why to the world it's a crime. You see, logistically and statistically, not every dancer dude is gay, not every football player straight, and that's crazy, huh? But that's fact, yo, and that's the same anywhere, even rap, yo. Oh, you don't see that? You don't believe that? I guess him over there, he chose to be black, and her Asian, and them white, and those god-awful gays chose to live that life, huh?
Alright folks, and we are back. Hello, Jody.
Hello, Ken.
So, let's catch people up. What do you remember about last week's show and my attitude?
You were in a very grumpy puss
mode. I was in a grumpy puss mode.
Yeah.
Will you get me a t-shirt that says grumpy puss? Or a button. I'll take a button.
Okay, I'll
that
try.
That would be awesome.
I'll try.
Now, I was very frustrated because the evolution of President Obama was not happening fast enough for my tastes. And then we did our show, and I would say 40 to 45 minutes later,
yeah,
it would seem that he evolved.
So we were a major contributing factor.
I was so annoyed that, like, I mean, I wrote him an email and I'm like, hey, Barack, it's Ken again. And could you not have done that a few minutes earlier so that we could have incorporated into the show? So then last week's show seemed horribly out of date, but we only missed out by 45 minutes. So we should circle back around and talk about President Obama. Let's play. Can I play for you what it is that he said? Did you listen to what he said or you read it?
I read it.
Okay. Yeah, well, this is good. So here, let me play for you. This is President Obama with Robin Roberts on ABC News.
I have to tell you, as I said, I've been going through an evolution on this issue. I've always been adamant that gay and lesbian Americans should be treated fairly and equally. And that's why, in addition to everything we've done in this administration, rolling back Don't Ask, Don't Tell, so that outstanding Americans can serve our country, whether it's no longer defending the Defense Against Marriage Act, which tried to federalize what has historically been state law, I've stood on the side of broader equality for the LGBT community. And I had hesitated on gay marriage, in part because I thought civil unions would be sufficient, that was something that would give people hospital visitation rights and other elements that we take for granted. I was sensitive to the fact that for a lot of people, the word marriage was something that evokes very powerful traditions, religious beliefs, and so forth. But I have to tell you that over the course of several years, as I talk to friends and family and neighbors, when I think about members of my own staff who are in incredibly committed monogamous relationships, same-sex relationships, who are raising kids together, when I think about those soldiers or airmen or Marines or sailors who are out there fighting on my behalf and yet feel constrained, even now that Don't Ask, Don't Tell is gone, because they're not able to commit themselves in a marriage. At a certain point, I've just concluded that for me personally, it is important for me to go ahead and affirm that I think same-sex couples should be able to get married.
I actually appreciate hearing his whole story about. I mean, he actually shares the evolution,
right?
And I appreciate that. I do appreciate that. I wish he could have said all these things sooner.
Maybe even a day before.
Even a day before.
So
even
that North
perhaps,
Carolina maybe yes. could have had a slightly different outcome. Although, you know, the President Obama saying this the day before, North Carolina. So all those folks who say he could have said it the day before, North Carolina wouldn't have constitutionally banned gay marriage. It's just not true.
Yeah, no, they would have done it anyway, unfortunately. And this is my... One of the things that was my initial reaction to all of this coming out was I really wish that he had stood by what he truly believed sooner.
Right.
Because it's very apparent that as he was getting elected, that this was what he believed. This is one of the reasons he did get elected by a lot of our fellow LGBT voters.
Right.
And then he backpedaled, and it felt like he was really giving in to political pressure and was sort of giving up on who he was. And that was what was most disappointing about sort of the lag in his being kind of waffly in public statements and not coming out more forcefully like, no, this is what I really believe. Mm-hmm. For real. What I said before is still what I believe now. And I think you can come out and say, I believe this, but this is what we're working on right now because the climate's not ready for X, Y, or Z. I think you can do that. I think you can do that. And he didn't do that. Instead, he just sort of got vague. And now finally he's come out and said, nope, this is what I believe. For real. Great. I'm glad. It makes you a better human.
He was on The View this week, and Barbara Walters asked him, so great, so you've said this, what are you prepared to do? And that's been my big question. Look, Facebook blew up. And, and because of this show, you know, it's fun. I have these people who I've never met before in my life, but are very, very gay, and we're friends on Facebook. So, you know, thousands of people who I will never meet, but they listen to the show, and I love it, and it's great. It's fun to have these connections. So. Sure. Anytime anything very gay happens, my Facebook wall is quite overpopulated with the gay. And so it was unbelievable. I actually haven't seen much like it in my Facebook tenure. And folks crying, people saying that they were crying, and this is a historic day. And I will say now, gosh, I hate to throw a little cynicism in here, but within 2 hours, 3 hours of President Obama making these statements. I don't know about you, but I got, I would say, at least five fundraising appeals from LGBT organizations.
Yep. Stand with Obama.
It was really frustrating to me because I thought that he's trying to bring this unified stance, and it was really frustrating to me that our LGBT organizations had no unity about what they were asking for. I couldn't possibly. I don't know who possibly could have given to all five organizations. And I'm sure there's any number of folks who got all five appeals. So that was really annoying to me to get that. And of course, all five were great, and they attacked it from a different angle. You know, the Victory Fund is looking at it different than the Gay and Lesbian Task Force is looking at it different than HRC. And in some ways, because President Obama still kind of said it should be left up to the states, which a lot of people still do agree with, that whether this should be a federal or a state-by-state issue, I was more inclined to give to a local organization than I was towards a national organization, although 9 times out of 10, I'm more likely to give to a local organization. So that was a little bit frustrating for me to have all of those emails and getting those fundraising appeals.
Yeah.
Now, folks are saying that he's waffled. Now, folks, those being conservative folks, are saying that he's waffled. You know, I admire a leader who can. His position has evolved. I mean, he wasn't. He used to say that he wasn't for gay marriage, that civil unions was fine, and then he said on The View yesterday that he just got to the point where he realized, you know, civil unions are not fine. The separate but equal is not fine. So the fallout continues to be, and will continue to be. Jay-Z. Well, I know you're a huge Jay-Z fan. How many Jay-Z albums do you own?
I don't know who this person is.
You know of Jay-Z?
No, I don't. This is the first time hearing of this person.
Oh, my God. Please send those emails. No, it's not.
It is. I don't know who this is. Who is it? What does this Jay-Z person do?
Jay-Z is a very, very famous rapper, musician, hip-hop artist, producer. But that's okay.
Okay.
Married to...
I don't know.
Beyonce, very good. Okay. So, you've heard of Beyonce?
Yes, I have heard
of her. That's you. Okay. Yeah. So, please send those emails to Jody at thisshowissogay.com. Jay-Z has thrown his support behind President Obama's marriage equality stance. He said to CNN, quote, I've always thought it is something that was still holding the country back. What people do in their own homes is their business, and you can choose to love whoever you choose. That's their business. It is no different than discriminating against blacks. It's discrimination, plain and simple. And I highlight that because in the same vein as I was speaking to Adair Lyon in the previous segment, Jay-Z is one of those people who can reach a whole different segment of the population than you and I can reach.
Absolutely.
I hearken back to when Claire Buffy, Miss New York, was on the show. Gosh, it was a while ago. It's getting to be like 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And she was the first Miss American contestant to have as her platform LGBT, I think it was LGBT safety in schools. Mm-hmm. Now, how many of us have had as our own personal platform LGBT safety in schools? Certainly the two people sitting in the sound studio right now.
Right.
That said, Claire Buffy, Miss New York, as a pageant contestant for Miss America, can reach an entirely different demographic than you and I can reach. And and similarly to Adair Lyon and Jay-Z. So that was a really cool quote. And then Another story that's getting a lot of play just today, an openly gay Mitt Romney donor has decided to pull his support from the presumptive GOP nominee and instead support President Obama's reelection bid, citing the former Massachusetts governor's opposition to same-sex marriage as a deal breaker. This is a quote from Bill White, who is that backer. He's a registered independent who runs a New York-based consulting firm, and he gave $2,500 to the Romney campaign, which I think is, that's like your maximum allowable donation, right? We have no idea. Quote, "I feel that I no longer wish to support your presidential campaign and ask you that you please return the maximum contribution," there you go, "that I gave to you last year. You've chosen to be on the wrong side of history, and I do not support your run for president any longer." So Mitt Romney spoke at a college commencement this past weekend, Liberty University, which I have to say, a bit of a misnomer there for that college, but and he reaffirmed his opposition to same-sex marriage, saying that he stands with the majority of the country when, in fact, he doesn't stand with the majority of the country. So over on the Huffington Post and the Gay Voices section, you can check out. There's a fact check there where you can look up, does he stand with the majority of the country? And I'll ruin the ending for you. No, he does not. So this may or may not be an election issue. And I say may or may not because people are not sure whether or not, if you weren't going to support President Obama and you weren't for marriage equality anyway, you probably weren't, this didn't change much for you. So there's that. So I don't know. I don't see this as being a particularly pivotal issue for the election coming up. Although Rick Santorum, he came out with a statement the other day. That was a fun pause. He came out with a statement the other day saying this is Mitt Romney's silver bullet. So he just has to fire this bullet and he will win the election.
No.
Obama has given you the fodder and now you will win. That would be very, very sad if that were the case.
I doubt it, though.
So that is the deal with marriage equality. I'm a little less bitter, although I'm curious to see where this goes. And check out, I can't embed the clip from The View because they have it copyright protected and I don't want to break any laws, even though I break them every week on the show. But Barbara Walters really presses President Obama and it's good. He says part of it is making the very intentional decision to not support the Defense of Marriage Act, DOMA. And then I guess we'll kind of see what happens from here on out.
Yeah.
I'm a little less bitter than last week, right?
You are.
Less bitter. So to get back to my bitter side, let's do our education stories for the week. I got two education stories for you this week.
Okay.
Faculty and staff members are leaving Georgia-based Shorter University in droves due to the school's new requirements. And I should tell you, I might be doing this here. I'm not sure. So I want to think it through. Due to the school's new requirement that they sign a, quote, lifestyle statement renouncing homosexuality, among other things.
Whoa.
Over on Inside Higher Ed, they report that at least 50 employees have resigned from the Baptist University. 50. I don't know how big this college is. I should look it up as we're talking. But I can tell you, no matter what size the college is, 50 employees is a big deal.
Yeah.
They've resigned from the Baptist University, which last fall announced plans to incorporate the lifestyle statement into the faculty and staff contracts for the upcoming academic year. The statement asks that signatories reject, quote, homosexuality, adultery, premarital sex, drug use, and drinking in public near the Rome, Georgia College campus. It also requires faculty to be active members of a local church. In the past decade, the Georgia Baptist Convention has been strengthening its control of the university, resulting in the statement and other developments. Some employees are fighting back, starting a group called SOS, which is always, I like that, Save Our Shorter. Some departments, such as science and the fine arts, there you go, have been eviscerated by the resignations. Last week, Michael Wilson, who's a librarian at the college's satellite campus in Atlanta, he returned his signed contract to university administrators, but crossed out the line reading, "I reject as acceptable all sexuality not in agreement with the Bible, including but not limited to premarital sex, adultery, and homosexuality." So, and he has not yet received a response. So I'm thinking, I've been working on it. I hope to finish it before I leave for China in the morning. But I will be asking you and the rest of my staff to be signing a lifestyle statement.
And what does it say?
I agree to have a life.
Oh, that's good.
Take vacation days.
Oh, I like that too.
This has nothing to do with this show is so gay. I will say that my staff, not so good with taking their vacation days. So folks, if you're given vacation days, use them. That's actually what they're for.
Yeah.
And if your supervisor gets frustrated because you've been gone, if you are using your vacation days, they have no right to be.
That is true.
Also, don't leave the office. You have work to do. All right. So that's, that's going on the college level. On the high school level, it's not good.
Oh, no.
It's not good. I'm telling you in advance, it's not a good story.
I'm going to get mad.
You're going to get really mad. A Pennsylvania student claims he was the victim of bullying by, of course, school officials. After a video of him dancing with his transgender prom date drew ridicule from fellow classmates, the Associated Press reports that a teacher who was serving as a chaperone at the dance asked 18-year-old Jared Swank if she could film him in his date, who has been identified by the media only as a transgender girl dancing at the Hanover Area High School senior prom in an effort to give her daughter a lesson in diversity. So that's what the teacher said. I want to film you to give my daughter a lesson in diversity. Instead, Swank claims the teacher played the video to her science class, who laughed at it this week. Swank said, quote, "I was not happy that this was shown in class. She told me she wanted to show her daughter, not the entire school." Though Swank will graduate in less than a month, he had hoped his case would make a difference for Hanover's incoming LGBT students. He went on to say, quote, "My concern is for the next class and classes after that, who, if nothing happens, will have to deal with the bullying and torture. I experienced something that no kid growing up should go through." His mother, Dawn, she told the station that the incident was just another example of how her openly gay son has been bullied in the school system since eighth grade. She said his mom, quote, "He was embarrassed. He was chastised. As a matter of fact, we just came from the gas station to get a drink before we got here, and some of our Hanover area students yelled an expletive out the window." So that's what it's done. It's antagonized more bullying.
That's unconscionable.
I know, right?
That teacher should be fired.
What? No.
That teacher should be fired.
I think she should sign a lifestyle statement and maybe work detention. But yeah, no, I agree. Yeah. She should be fired.
Or at the very least suspended. That is horrendous.
Yeah.
That is horrendous.
Not good.
No.
It's not good.
No. It's also, even the first thing that the teacher said, "Oh, can I film you to show my daughter?" That's also sketchy.
Yeah.
That's sketchy.
Didn't you film your 24-hour festival there with the improv-ing?
Yeah.
And then you played it for people? They all
signed permission forms saying, yes, this group acting out can film my son or daughter.
But then you took that film, went to science classes, and you showed them, look at these crazy theater kids and how they behave in their natural environment.
No.
You did that.
No, no. It went on the public access TV station because we had a partnership with them and the kids were excited about that, and that's what happened.
Yeah. Hey, Vermont news. We talked about the blood thing the other day, right?
No, I don't think we did talk about
the House of Representatives here in Vermont, that's what they're called, right? The House of Representatives?
Yes.
Yes. The House of Representatives here in Vermont passed by, I think only two people voted against it. They are urging the FDA to repeal their ban on gay men being able to give blood.
That's great.
It is great, except it's also not, because they need to do more than that. Because what the FDA is saying now is we will consider getting rid of our ban. Mm-hmm. So then what we'll do is we'll put in a 1-year waiting period for men after they have sex, and then they can give blood. Now, I do not want to subscribe to stereotypes. Mm-hmm. I am just subscribing to a stereotype of human beings who I have read online occasionally have sex.
Mm-hmm.
And I have not read any studies that the potential of giving blood in a year factors into the time that you choose to have sex.
No, it doesn't.
So the House of Representatives actually, and it's great, it's a step, but it's actually not going to do as much as it needs to do. Mm. Because if the FDA just lifts its ban, they're going to put in a 1-year waiting period, which in some ways, I want to say it's going to be even worse. Now, so you got, on the one hand, you have a ban on gay men, on men who've had sex with men since 1977, and women who've had sex with men who've had sex with men since 1977, an outright ban, which is terrible and ridiculous.
Right. Yes.
But that, at least when you explain it to people, they say, oh my God, that's ridiculous. It should be equal.
Mm-hmm.
When I go out there, because this is my prime issue, this is one of my huge, huge issues, is about blood donation. If I go out there and say to people, oh my gosh, it's not equal. I have to wait a year and you don't have to wait at all. It just doesn't have the same impact as saying I'm banned completely. Mm-hmm. And I worry a little bit about support for, you know, changing it to what it should be, where gay men are exactly the same as all of the other populations everywhere, especially keeping in mind that gay men are not the fastest growing population of HIV infections. It's actually women of color, which, of course, no one is advocating, nor should they be, advocating that there be some sort of ban or one-year waiting period on women of color. Right. So I read this about the blood donations, and I thought, well, that's cool. And then I kept reading, and it's not as cool as the House of Representatives, not to be – I support our representatives and their efforts, but not as cool as we think it is.
It's a compromise.
Not as cool as we think it is. So that's going on. There's also this is our favorite segment of the show, which we call Thank God We're Not in Iran.
This is a new one.
Yes. I just made it up. So okay. For this week's segment, Thank God We're Not in Iran, four men have been sentenced to death for sodomy in the Iranian town of Choram, a town in the relatively remote and undeveloped, I'm going to butcher the name of this province, so I'm not even going to go there. They have the names of the four men, but I'm not going to read them. Yeah. According to gay news site Joopia, J-O-O-P-E-A. The men will be hanged for sodomy according to strict interpretation of Sharia law. The location of the trial and the speed with which the punishment it expected to be meted out reportedly makes it unlikely that international organizations will be able to intervene on the men's behalf. A gay activist based in Iran told Pink News that being gay is not a crime based on Iranian criminal law, but this is the most clear statement against same-sex acts in past months. That concludes our segment, Thank God We're Not in Iran. Perspective is a very healthy thing. I will say, I'll add a little more. Activists in Iran say at least five other men have been hanged for homosexuality this year alone in Iran, though the reason for the punishment of some men was not identified to international human rights watchers. Thank God we're not in Iran. I don't have any theme music for that particular segment. I think just a silence would just be fine. And because, you know, I would like to end on some sort of happy note. It's cool stuff happening in Rhode Island. The Rhode Island governor, he spoke at the State House ceremony a few days ago, and he declared that the state will recognize all same-sex marriages performed elsewhere, directing state agencies to essentially treat same-sex married couples the same as heterosexual ones. That's a really big deal.
Yeah.
The AP reports that the law in Rhode Island has been unclear on how to handle these couples, as the state allows civil unions but not same-sex marriages. The thing with Rhode Island's really one of the last holdouts in New England, but Rhode Island has such a Protestant, very strict Protestant background that's not all that surprising.
Yeah.
So good news out of Rhode Island. So if you get married, you can head on over to Rhode Island and your same-sex union, whatever your state calls it, will be recognized there. So that's a big deal.
That is a big deal.
So I am actually, I don't know if I told you, I'm feeling a little bit bad. I'm actually headed off to China in the morning.
You told me.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah,
that would be a bit of an oversight.
That.
So I'm headed off to China in the morning. So we will be running Rainbow Rewinds for the next 2 weeks. Next week, we're going to play our 150th show, which is such a blast. And then the week after that is the show with husband and husband comedy team Dick and Dwayne in the first segment. And in the second segment, Jody curses in Swedish over and over and over. It is the show, the episode that was banned in both Minnesota and Sweden. So you can check out that controversy right there. But then we will return on June 6th with new episodes. And I'm thinking, I'm calling it right here, because on June 6th, I'm actually going to be in New Jersey at my parents' house. Mm. I'm calling a return to the air of my parents. So they don't know yet, but I'll spring it on them and they'll be totally fine with it. I might record something in China, but I doubt it, because it's not the greatest place to be gay either.
No.
So probably June 6th, new content. Tune in then. Mm. But, you know, for the next couple weeks, there's a lot of Pride festivals happening. So look up if there's something Pride happening here in Brattleboro. There are like 14 Pride events in June.
Yeah.
It's really, really exciting.
It's big.
Yeah, I'm giving a talk, Queers, Jeers, and Beers, on student LGBT alcohol and other drug use. And then we're doing this cool thing called the Concrete Quilt, where we're going to take over this wall in a parking lot that is really kind of graffitied up, and we're going to turn it into a concrete AIDS quilt where people will be able to, for $5, buy a panel, and they will paint their their panel. So I'm hoping that we can get people to do that. So that is the kind of thing.
Cool.
I tell you these things because that's the kind of thing that you can do in your town.
Yeah.
We're going through our town arts committee today. They're giving us permission. I'm forecasting it. They're giving us permission to have this public art. And then that's something that you can do. So if there's no Pride Festival in your town, show a movie. But don't just show a movie. Have a talk back afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a Pride event. And you're done. And it will bring people together and ask people what else should we do, and there you go. So celebrate Pride no matter where you are. Celebrate Pride every day. And, of course, in all of your travels, no matter what you are doing, no matter what you are celebrating, please remember, why be gay when you can be so gay?